I very seldom write book reviews of books I don't like. I have a lot of experience with field guides, and although I have two favorites, the National Geographic Guide and the Kaufman Guide, I realize that each one of us uses different strategies for birding, and what may be the perfect guide for one person wouldn't work as well for someone else. But there are two field guides that not only don't seem useful to me, but seem actually misleading in important ways. They're both very big sellers, so my opinion is clearly not very widely held, but it might be useful to consider these issues before buying them. The first is actually a whole series of guides, each titled Birds of a Particular State, such as Birds of Minnesota or Birds of Wisconsin. These guides show only a fraction of the birds of the state they're covering. Birds of Minnesota covers only 111 species, though there are over 400 species found in our state. Some people think providing fewer possibilities makes it easier for beginners, but I don't. I went through the list of birds I figured out my very first spring of birding, before I knew other birders and had to struggle through identifications of everything, including chickadees and mallards. Of the 40 species I saw that first spring, 6 are not in Birds of Minnesota at all, nor in Birds of Illinois or Birds of Michigan, where I was doing most of that birding. We moved to our house in Duluth in July 1981 when I was pregnant and then dealing with a newborn. I saw 65 species in my backyard that first year. Of them, 16, almost 25%, are not in Birds of Minnesota. It would have been endlessly frustrating for me to tease out identifications of such easy-to-find backyard birds when they weren't even in the book. Birds of Minnesota has a single photo for most species, and when males and females are both pictured, they can be widely spaced. The common goldeneye female is on page 44, while the male is all the way over on page 150. The brand new Crosley ID guide is selling like hotcakes. Although it's larger than many family Bibles, it is eye-catching. Richard Crosley gives most species their own full-page plate with a lot of photos pulled together on a single background. Some of the birds are in flight, some are perched or swimming. For example, he has at least 13 different yellow-bellied sapsuckers in the same scene. This allows you to look at them in different poses, ostensibly in their natural habitat. The trick is that many birds aren't just found in one habitat. He shows chipping sparrows on a golf course rather than in the open coniferous woodlands where they're most abundant, perhaps more because he was enamored of the cleverness of showing in the distance a golfer chipping a shot than because anyone is likely to head to a golf course in search of a chipping sparrow. And because he used his own photos, some pages have a lot more than others. In real life, one would never see 13 yellow-bellied sapsuckers in that close proximity, nor 11 ruby-throated hummingbirds perched or hovering peaceably together. The plates are uneven in how carefully proportions of birds perched in the same tree were worked out. Sometimes the near bird is so enormous compared to a bird photoshopped just a bit further back in the same tree that any beginner would be confused about how variable size might be for that species. And some of the photos actually hurt my eyes. I decided it was probably both because of that size issue and also because some birds were photographed in different lights, and although Crosley does a lot of color correction for that, there are enough differences in the way light hits different birds and how each one is focused that my eyes were straining to make the pictures make sense. Crosley also uses four-letter alpha codes rather than giving the names of birds he compares each species to. Four-letter codes have been standardized specifically for entering bird banding data, but most banders don't even memorize these codes. They make reading the Crosley Guide more frustrating than helpful. This book is a clever novelty, but I suspect that birders who have a copy will quickly relegate it to a shelf or coffee table rather than actually using it. As I noted, I don't like panning books, and if you've personally found either of these field guides to be particularly useful, let me know. Meanwhile, if you're looking for a good field guide to give as a gift, I'd look at the new 6th edition of the National Geographic Field Guide, or Ken Kaufman's. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.